Well, I do desire your prayers this morning. I'd like to start with a couple of verses in the sixth chapter of John. Oh, I'll start with the 60th verse. Well, I better go up and get the rest of us. Go up to the 53rd. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning whom they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." And that's what I'm kind of thinking of this morning. This idea of walking no more with him. Or more than that, what does it take? What would it take? These were disciples. These were people that had heard the words of the Lord and believed them somewhat and followed him as disciples. This wasn't the 12 he was talking about, but these were part of the disciples. And there come a point, there comes something, a point in their life, a point in what they believed. I'm assuming if things had went on as they had, maybe they would have went on as they were. But there come a point to something that they heard. They say, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand this?" And Jesus spoke these words to him. It said, and many of his disciples walk no more with him. Or in other words, they come to their limit. This is enough. I'm willing to be thought of as strange. I'm willing to go on and walk with this guy even though he's not as popular as I'd like. Or maybe there's people that I'm going to suffer some. But there's a point that they come to till they said, "I'm not going to go no more. I'm through. That's enough for me." And want to encourage us today to get the mindset, I believe that the grace of God will meet us at our determination. I believe that. I don't believe that you can just, that grace is just falling out of the sky on people that don't want it. I believe that God gives grace to those that have the determination to live for Him. I believe that we can have grace for life in any situation that we come up to. We can have some power of God to ensure our victories in that. But we got to be determined. And I'd like to suggest this morning that we get the determination that I'm going to live for God no matter what. I'm determined that I'm none of the human frailties, failures, difficulties, persecution from others, scientific developments, whatever it is, none of these things are going to move me. I've got to go through things. You do too. But to be determined that no matter what they are, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you, as Brother Ed said. I'll be content to be sat on the back seat if I have to. But I'm going to be determined to serve the Lord. Something about these disciples was not set. It wasn't fixed. They wasn't determined that no matter what it was. But when it come down, and you can read the rest of this, but when it come down and Jesus then says, "Will you go also? Will you leave also?" Peter said, "To whom would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." To realize today and to have faith and believe that no matter what, this is the truth. No matter what else, God's right. No matter what else, I'm not going to live here forever. No matter what else, I'm going to have to make heaven my home. No matter what, I'm determined. I'm determined to go through that. I'm determined to do it. Then we'll think about, with this idea, we'll think about the idea of Job. And you can turn to it if you want and read especially some of the first chapters. But I just want to kind of go through it a little bit in our minds. Job was a man that feared God. He lived for God. And there come a time that Job was greatly challenged in his life. And I want you to notice something here about Job, if you want to go and read it. But notice something about it. It says that they come when the sons of God came, and old Satan came too. And he always does. I mean, we have an enemy. And you can look in there and find some of the details, or some of the nature, if you will, of the devil in there. And when the devil was given his right of the Lord to say, he said of Job, "Does he fear you for naught? Does he serve you for naught? You have heads around him. He's wealthy. He's got all this stuff. You can't be touched by nothing. You touch him and he'll curse you to your face." And God gave him the permission. You want to read the story? Gave him the permission. Watch what he done. The devil was quick to bring his style of things to it. You know why he done this? You know why the devil brought fire? He destroyed his things. He attacked his family. You know why he done all that? He wanted Job to give up on God. That's why he done it. He wanted Job to curse God. That's why the devil does what he does. That's why things come in life. You want to try to say, I'm not saying the devil does all of these things that happen in our life. Life happens, I know that. But I want us to realize that if the devil has these rights, he's going to do things to you in your life to make you doubt God. He's going to do things in your life to make you want to give up on God. He want to try to bring you to the same point that the disciples was at. That's what the devil's trying to do. Well, you want to serve the Lord. You'll say, I believe in God. I want to live for God. I want to make heaven my home. But there's a point that I come to that ain't worth it. Now, that sounds silly. Intellectually, it sounds silly if you say there's a heaven and it's for eternity and there's a life here and it's a few, 70, maybe 80 at the most, maybe a little bit more if you're stronger, that kind of a thing. But then it's over. Then if we're going to look at it intelligently, we'll say, well, whatever it takes. But these men had a point. Now the devil is trying to bring Job to that point. And the devil will try to bring you to that point to where you say, that's enough. I don't need this. I don't need to trust in God if that's the way it works out. I don't need to go through this religious thing if it costs me that much. I don't need, whatever you might put into that, that's what the devil wants to try to do. Lord, help us to have the determination that loss won't do it. Now, again, I don't want you to relate this to the devil in any way, but I was thinking one of the things that stirred this thought in my mind was actually the case of Mr. Butcher. Because that's such a pitiful case. I couldn't hardly imagine. If I got it right, his son dies one night and his wife's dead the next morning? Is that what the story was? Or was it longer than that?
On Saturday and Tuesday.
Saturday and Tuesday? Son dies and wife's died? I mean, that kind of a... We don't expect that. And it would be real easy for our lives to question, what is this? I mean, this is a shock. It's a shock to lose one, but in that case, before you can even deal with one, you got another one to deal with. And that to me seems like, and as I thought of that, I thought of this idea. What would it take for me to say, Lord, that's enough? What would it take for me to say, I can't do this anymore? Lord, help us to have the determination that there is no line there on that. I mean to be faithful. I mean to go on. I mean to live for the Lord no matter what happens in my life or what might do it. There's times that things will flatten you down. You don't have the answers for it. It doesn't make sense. But I'm determined. God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling. To see and know and understand. To have a determination and a belief. God is right. Over in the book of Joshua. Joshua had quite a job. Because Joshua come in the footsteps of Moses. That's what makes Joshua's situation. You have a leader. Moses was an outstanding leader. And I'm sure when Moses is gone and the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now, it's up to you. I'm sure that Joshua is thinking about these great big old pair of shoes that he's going to have to try to put on. Of all the things, Moses was the one that led, that God used to go down to Egypt, meet Pharaoh. Moses was the one God used and got the Ten Commandments. God was the one, Moses talked with God, he got information, he done all these things. And now Moses is gone, Joshua. Now it's your time to step up. So Joshua had a big job to do, and the Lord comes along and says, now Joshua, you be strong and of a good courage. And I'll be with you. And there will be none of your enemy will be able to stand before you. Now be strong, Joshua, and of good courage. So, you know the story. They cross over the Jordan and they go and they run into a city, Jericho. And the Lord promised them, I'll deliver you by a mighty hand. There's no city big enough, none of the giants will be big enough. There'll be nothing that they'll stand before you. And so they went and the Lord gave them a special prescription about marching around the city. You can read that if you want. And they marched around six times, one every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, seven times. And at the end, everybody got to be quiet. And at the end of it, the best I remember, the trumpet sound and the people shout. And the walls fall down. Now, it's the story of the city of Jericho. And a great victory was wrought that day. Lord, it also, with that, gave them a few little commandments to do. And one of them was is that you leave the accursed thing alone. Don't take any of the Babylonian stuff. Don't take any of the spoils of the city, for it's cursed unto God. And all of the treasure was to go to the treasure house, the storehouse of Lord. The seventh chapter, first verse. There was a man named Achan, and Achan had taken of the accursed thing. He took a Babylonian garment, and he took silver and gold and vessels and those kind of things that was consecrated unto the Lord. says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan of the tribe of Judah took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000-3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor hither, for they are but few. So there went up hither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Sheb Aram, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people mounted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, and he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ upon us around, and cut us off, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Now, you can see the scene. Joshua never expected this. This was a blow to him. He had something in his mind. He had faith in God. He believed God would do what he said he would do. He had no idea of this other. He wasn't aware of it. And all of a sudden, what it looked like was God failed. Something happened. Will we ever know? Do we go on? If we're beaten by such a small place, how are we going to go on? We have a destiny. We have a job to do. We just come into the land that was supposed to be ours. We're supposed to conquer it. The Lord said it's ours. And we've got to reverse. We got to back set. There's a land that we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have peace. We're supposed to have patience. We're supposed to be faithful. We're supposed to have faith in God. We're supposed to live above the things of this world, and this flesh can be conquered. Am I telling it wrong? We're supposed to have a victory in our lives over the things that trouble us. We're promised it. Be strong now and of good courage, and I'll give you the land that you long for. I'll give you the place that you want to. We want to live this kind of life. And all of a sudden there's a reverse. Oh no. This don't work. You ever heard? Is the devil willing to come and tell you that this plan don't work? This ain't going to happen for you? Yeah, maybe others will live that way, but you're not going to. You've always been feeble. You've always been frail. You've always been less than the other saints have been. You ain't going to be able to get any higher. You've not got any higher yet. And you're not going to get any higher. You're not going to be any better. You're never going to overcome yourself. You still got the same dispositions you've always had. You're a loser. I would have been content if I'd never even tried to be any better. I should have stayed back 15 years ago. I should have just stayed down low. I should have never tried to preach, teach, testify. I should have never done anything to put myself out there. I've been a failure on all of it. I should have quit. I should have never tried to come over here. I'd have been content, Lord, to be over there. At least your name hadn't been. See, that's what Joshua was saying. Your great name is because failures is going on and it's looking bad to you. But Joshua had no other, because strong and of good courage I'll be with you. Well, where are you at then? Where are you at? You know, Joshua was in reverse. He already come over and conquered. Now listen, he come over and conquered Jericho. And they had moved on out. And now he's put it in reverse and wished he went all the way back and backed up and went all the way and backed up back on the other side of Canaan. That's where his heart's at now. He's sunken down. You know, things can happen like that in life. You think you've gained some, all of a sudden you look and you're better off than you was before, and we try to deal with natural life that we've got to and our spiritual life that we must, and we try to get this all worked out together, and all of a sudden you have these reverses and you think, I'd have been better off if I hadn't even... I'm telling you something. I know it ain't supposed to be this way, but just bear with my testimony. Some of the worst days I've ever had was when I prayed the hardest. I'm telling you the truth. Get down and just pray and pray. And the day go, and I said, what kind of a day? I prayed. So not pray anymore? I'll put it in reverse, Lord. I'd been better off if I'd never prayed. I'd be better off. No, that's not the answer. This was the answer. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Now I love that. Joshua got down, and it doesn't say what time he got down, but he got down and he stayed down on his face. That's good. That's good. And Joshua wasn't being, the Lord was not condemning Joshua for being down on his face. But folks, there's a time to get up off your face. There's a time to get a hold of it. There's a time to get the reality of it. You're human. I'm human. Things happen. Where's our determination at? And the Lord said, get up, Joshua. You're not done. You're not beat. Joshua, get up. You got the land to conquer. Now, I'm going to say this today, and if it don't fit the pattern, but you're going to have reverses in your life. Okay? We like to write that this is a time of victory. It is victory. But you have reverses in your life. You have things that go backwards sometimes. You have times that things isn't what you'd like for them to be. Joshua didn't want this. I can even make the argument of saying, well, how fair is it, Lord, for you to punish everybody over Achan? You're a unit now. This happened. You know what this is indicating? What the Lord says to Joshua? Joshua, get up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? That's a question mark. It was a question to them. Joshua, you've been down on your face now. Now I'm telling you to get up. And I'm asking you a question. What do you hope to accomplish wallowing around in this problem? You're wallowing around. Get off of your face. There's a reason for this. Get up and take care of the reason. You know what I'm saying? We have things in our life. I don't have the grace I should have had today. Get up off your face and take care of the problem. You got a problem. Realize it. It's okay. Everybody's got them. So... But he's saying, Joshua, you're going to have to dig down now and find out something. It isn't going to fall out of the sky. I could, but Joshua, you're going to have to go through the prescriptions now. You saw what happened. You didn't win. And you can go and wish you was on the other side of the Canaan where you didn't have to fight these battles. But if you're going to win this land, you're going to have to fight the battles. You're going to have to fight the battles, and you're going to have to fight what happens. And every once in a while, the battle in out there, Joshua. Sometimes the battle's in here. And that's what this is representing. It's an internal battle of the children of Israel. See, Jericho was an external battle. Ai is an external battle. Achan's an internal battle. And now, get up off of your face. Is this Joshua? Is this where the devil's brought you to, where you say, and they walk no more with him? I've got to mind there now that I walk no more with him. Are you determined to get up out of here and find out what the answer to this problem is? Why are you on your face? I don't know if he actually waited for Joshua to give an answer. Well, Lord, I'm laying here because, well, here we go. The Lord said, Israel hath sinned. He didn't wait on him to say, well, Lord, you didn't give us the victory. No. Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up! Up! What's he telling me? Up! In my mind, maybe I'm totally wrong, but in my mind, Joshua's down on his face. And the Lord starts talking to him to tell him to get up. This is only my vision, folks. It's all it is. But in my mind, he gets up on his knees to hear the rest of this. And the Lord says, not halfway. Get up, Joshua. Up. Here's what you got to do. Up. Sanctify the people. And say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Now, you can go ahead and read the rest of this. But here comes the determination that's going to find the problem. Okay? There is in the camp of Israel, under somebody's rug, buried in the earth of their under their tent, there is something that God will not bless over. I don't think it's the same today in the congregation of the church. I don't think that's what this represents. This represents a personal life. It may represent the church as a whole, but this represents more to me a life. And there's a hidden thing in there. And he says, get up. Why are you offended at my words? Referring to John, 6th chapter of John. Why was they offended at his words? Something he took care of. Now he says, up, Joshua. Because what you got to do is not a matter of laying on your face. This is a matter of activity and duty. This is an activity of getting with it. You're going to have to find out what the problem is. If things ain't functioning and going along in your life the way they should, you need to get diligent about what that is. Find out what that is. Seek God to find out what the answer of that is. Well, you can read this story. And he got that to say to the people, listen, this come from the Lord. The Lord's visited me and said, children of Israel, we ain't going nowhere till we take care of this problem. We're done. We've got to get this took care of. Sometimes it's hard to take care of those things that's been there so long or so passionately get a hold of those things. Sometimes they're a heart matter. But there's things that can creep in. You know, this old world's got a lot of things you can latch your affections on. A lot of things can keep you from having that victory which you should have. Lord, help us. Over in Proverbs, Proverbs 24, I think is what I'm looking for. And 16. Says, for a just man falleth seven times and ariseth up again. but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The just man falleth 7 times and arises again. I use that scripture, one of my main scriptures, probably just about every time I have to do altar work. Somebody has problems dealing with it. I want to quote that scripture to them. That a just man falleth 7 times. 7 times is a complete, speaks of completeness. It's a totalness. There's a lot of falling involved in that. It can, even to the total fallness in a situation, or the totalness of many falls. It says that the just man arises again. He wasn't blamed because he fell. He was considered just because he rose. And all of us know that reverses are going to come. Things are going to happen in our lives. You may say something you wish you hadn't have. You may have to change or repent or change things or hope better victory. We pray better victory. We want that. We reach for it. But reverses do come. And when failures come or problems come or the difficulties come that blast you, you think I ought to be more spiritual. I ought to have more faith in God. But the loss of my loved one shocked me. Well, we're too spiritual for that. I don't even believe that. I think people are totally, I think they're totally out there when they start even, no, I don't think we're even made that way. I know God's got a great grace and there can be, and that can be applied. But those kind of things do affect us in life. And there's times that I said, I ought to be a lot more spiritual than I am, but I just ain't. This has got me. This has touched my life. This is something that and Lord, help me. And have got over it and rise above it. For the just will fall 7 times. But he rises again. That's the answer to the problems. Lord, help us to be determined that there's nothing going to take me away from the Lord. Whatever I go through, I'll go through. And at the end of it, I'll still be with the Lord. With that kind of determination. Another scripture I wanted to read. It was over in Psalms. Psalms 55 and 6. No, that ain't the right. Yeah, 55 and 6. I'll read back just a little bit. I'll go back to 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Now, if there's anybody, I believe, on this planet that would like to have the wings of a dove, I'm a runner. I want to get away from my problems from running from them. Something comes, I want to get away from it. It's just as fast and as hard as I can, but I can't. I remember Brother Salmon saying that this scripture said, David said that if he had the wings of a dove, he'd fly away. And I remember Brother Salmon said, you can fly as far as you want to, David. You'll take David with you. Your problems can't be flown away. You'll never fly as far to get rest from all that. That's what David longed for. If he had the wings, he saw it as an escape. Yeah, it's not an escape. It's making sure that I don't get to that point where I walk no more with him. I got a determination that the terror, horror, problems, all of these things. You know there's bad things in this world? All you have to do is listen to the news a little bit. There's all kind of bad things facing this world. But none of those things move me from the Lord. It should move me closer. So if I had the wings of a dove, I may want to fly away and get away from my problems. But I find that most of my problems are me. And the way I handle the problems. So I could fly as far as I could fly, and I'd still have to be there with it. I'd have to deal with me, because I'm the part of it. Lord, help me to overcome these things. I want to read another scripture in Samuel. This is another familiar scripture. Samuel, the 30th chapter. It says in the first verse, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever get there? You ever weep out? Well, yeah, I've weeped out before. I've known of others that's weeped out. They totally weeped out. And David's two wives were taken captives. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was so grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. I can see that. You imagine what a heartache that was. They were so grieved. They lost their wives, their children, all the precious things to them. They were supposed to be safe. David's the leader, took the men off, didn't leave the protection for the things that was precious, and they come back and they was all taken away, and their grief is overwhelming, and now they're talking of stoning David, and what's the answer, and what's he going to do? Is this the time to quit? What point can you get at? You ever ask yourself that question? Maybe nobody ever does ask that question, but a lot of people sure end up gone. A lot of people walk no more with him. So there must be a legitimate question to say, is this David's point that I'll walk no more with him? People do it all the time. No, it wasn't that way for David. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'd sure like to have been there to see that. I'd like to know exactly what he done and that he done. But I think I know what he done. I think he put all that aside. I think he dismissed all other possibilities and thoughts and ways, and I think he turned his total heart and mind and soul to the Lord. And began to say, I don't know what he done. Maybe he just started asking the Lord to help him, but that's not what I think he encouraged himself. I think what he done was started reminding himself as he talked to the Lord. I think he started glorifying God. That's what I think he done. I think he started saying, you're God of the universe. You're God of creation. You was a faithful God to Abraham. And you was a faithful God to Moses. And you was a faithful God to Gideon. And you was a faithful God to Joshua. And you was a faithful God to those that served you. And Lord, I'm one of your servants. Lord, you know everything. You know where they're at. Lord, you know how to get them back. I think he began to focus his mind on the God that he served and the abilities that he had. That's what I think. It works for me. When I get into those kind of places where the it's unanswerable, and I have to, Lord, you rule it all. You do it all. I know you do. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And again, David hadn't hit the point. I pray today that there is not a point for us. I pray that we get the determination to say, sickness won't do it. Loss of objects, things, loss of material, loss of finance, loss of those things won't do it. It didn't for Job. Job didn't hit the point. David didn't hit the point here either. That wasn't what caused him to do it. Jesus said one time that the scribe came to him and said, I'll follow you whithersoever you go. And Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, that's all that scripture says in this context. It's all left there for given ideas. I think what the idea was is this man come along, and here's the one that can turn wine
or turn water to wine, and can turn a couple fishes into feed the multitudes. And he says, that's a good plan for me, and I'm going to serve him. And he, oh, sorry, I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus says, I ain't got a thing. I think that was that man's point. I don't think he walked anymore with him. I think it was the idea of the scripture. I don't think he walked with him anymore. Didn't I want no mention of his name anymore. He had a notion and an idea, and it said, look good, and if I can get all this, it'll be great. But I think he run into his limits. You don't have anything? Nothing? Is that what I can expect in life? Oh, it don't sound good to me. I think I'm going to run out. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. You want to read the rest of this verse? The Lord told David, you go get them. And David was able to go and get them all back. He got all the stuff back, and the Lord blessed. So I want to encourage us today that we not let... The Scripture says that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. No matter what big splice you make when you jump in, folks, it's all about how you're getting out, how it's going to be at the end of it. You can't... It's whether you come to the end of the thing and still have your faith. That's what it's about. And Paul was a great example, and I appreciate his ministry, his writings and all. And he says there in the fourth, I think it's the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. After everything that happened to him, that was one of the greatest statements that ever said was, as I went through all of this that was designed by the devil to turn my heart from the Lord, and when I get down to the end and I'm soon to be offered, I know they're going to take my head off. I'm soon to give my very life for this. And he said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. He was talking about religious things. I've fought with false prophets, false teachers. I was in the depths of the sea. I was shipwrecked. I was scourged. I was whipped. I was beaten. I was done without. I was naked and destitute. And now I've come down to the end of it. And he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And through all of that, I kept my faith. I've still got faith. At the end of it, none of those things deterred him, turned him around. There was never a point that he was like one of those disciples that walked no more with the Lord. He never got to that point. I believe that he set his determination that I'm going to live for God no matter what. No matter what. I intend to see the end of this thing in faith. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.